We are studying faith here on the Radio Bible Course, and we invite you to turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you for joining us. Verse 1 of Hebrews 11 reads, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old received divine approval. By faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear." I want also to read this same section of Hebrews chapter 11 from the New International Version. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible." Now what does Hebrews 11:1 mean when it says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for"? The Revised Standard Version uses the word assurance instead of substance. A first century papyrus document uses this same Greek word for a title deed, which implies ownership. In other words, faith is a title deed of things hoped for. When we hold the title to property, it is our possession, even though that property might be located far away. We can be certain it is ours, however, because we have the title deed. The title is the substance of what is legally ours. When God promises you something, like everlasting life, and you respond to that promise by faith, that life is yours in this life, as though you had a legal document which assigned it to you. And nothing can be more certain than the promise of God, for God cannot lie. God has a history of keeping His promises. He promised things in the Old Testament, and they came to pass. He promised Abraham that his descendants would be slaves in a foreign land for 400 years, and it came to pass. Then he said they would be delivered from that land, and God fulfilled his promise. God promised that he would send a Messiah into the world, and he did it. He said he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah, and that's where Christ was born. He also promised by Isaiah the prophet some 700 years before he was born that Jesus the Christ would be born of a virgin, and he fulfilled it. So you can be sure of his promise of eternal life if you comply with what he asks. What does God ask in order for us to get eternal life? Only that we believe him. That's the only response he wants. Don't make promises to God in order to get eternal life. Instead, believe His promise. The word substance in verse 1 is an intangible basis for confidence which rests on the integrity of God. Faith does that for you. There is, however, false faith, which is really presumption. For you to believe that you own something that belongs to another person is self-deception. So is believing that you possess something from God which has not been promised to you. Some well-meaning teachers contribute to false faith by telling people to believe they have been healed when they obviously have not. They are trying to get them to deceive themselves into believing that they are well, but they are very sick. Then they heap condemnation on people by saying that they aren't healed because they don't believe that they are healed. Now that's false faith. It's make-believe nonsense. Faith is not nonsense. Faith is substance. We don't practice faith when we try to believe something that is not true. But if God says something is true, then it is. And we are to depend upon what His Word clearly tells us. Faith is also the evidence of things not seen. What does evidence mean? It means a proof of things invisible. your eternal life, forgiveness, sonship, along with the indwelling spirit, can't be shown to another person. There is no lab test to substantiate those invisible things from God. But faith, according to God's word, gives you a proof that they are real, and you know without doubt that you possess eternal life, forgiveness, and sonship. Even though unseen, in my experience, I have discovered that true faith is most often associated with the absence of physical things. The person with true faith has his expectation focused on God and his eyes centered on the Word of God. He does not surround himself with religious symbols, crosses, medals, crucifixes, slogans, candles, pictures, nor does he put eternal value on pieces of the cross, a baptism in the Jordan River, or water from Jacob's well. Faith is concerned with things not seen. We'll see that throughout Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 2, the writer says, "For by it the men of old received divine approval." It's that kind of conviction in things not seen that brought divine approval in the Old Testament. Can you believe that God made the world, both the physical earth, its oceans, rocks, and plants, along with the events in history such as the rise and fall of empires? Can you believe that God was behind all that and God alone? If you don't have faith, you'll doubt the story of Adam and Eve and the story of Cain killing Abel. You'll doubt the story about Jonah being swallowed by a large fish. And you'll doubt whether the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were really destroyed by God from heaven. Faith, however, causes you to believe that God did those things because the Scriptures declare it. Listen to verse 3. "By faith we understand that the world was created" how? "By the Word of God." We shouldn't be asking how long did it take God to make the world? Did he work hard? How did he do it? Where did he get the plan? This verse tells us that God spoke, and it was done. And the record in Genesis affirms that. So does Psalm 33, verse 6, which declares, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." The Apostle Peter commented on this creation of God when he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3, "First of all, you must understand this. The scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions, and saying, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation.' They deliberately ignore this fact, that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and an earth formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men." The Apostle John, in his wonderful gospel, tells us more about the creation and the involvement of the Son of God in that creation. He writes at the beginning of the gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The Apostle John believed that Jesus Christ, who is called the Word here in the Gospel of John, was the creator of heaven and earth. What did the Apostle Paul believe about creation? Well, he agreed with the Apostle John, for he wrote to the Colossians in that epistle and said about Christ, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. How did all creation come about? Hebrews tells us, by the word of God. What do we read in Genesis? It tells us in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, that's his word, and here it is, let there be light, and there was light. Then God said, let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. The creative word of God continued, and then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear, and it was so. And then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds, and it was so. And then the word of the Lord, which was creative, said this, let there be lights in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years, and let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, and it was so. And the creative word of God further said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing. Undoubtedly, the author of the book of Hebrews believed the Genesis account. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth. Friends, there's power in the word of God. The same power that created the heavens and the earth is the power that can make us new creatures if we will believe in his Son. I was blessed yesterday when a man told me that he had listened to our broadcast and it finally became clear to him that God did not want him to work for salvation, but instead to believe in Christ for salvation. His problem, like the problem of many others, is they don't understand the grace of God. And if the grace of God is not clear to you, we are sure that our free booklet on grace will help you with this critical matter right today for your free copy. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.